You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Suns. I'm your host, Brendan Kleen. Follow me on Twitter at BrendanKleen14. Follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnPHXSuns. It is a Monday, which means Brandon's here joining us for a late Tuesday night edition of the podcast, recording releasing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. So appreciate everybody's patience trying to relax a little bit, take a load off. And the Labor Day weekend was an opportunity to do that. How was your weekend, though, Brandon?
Pretty good. Nice little recharge to the weekend and my birthday week. So a lot of festivities and stuff like that going on. So it's been good.
Hey, happy birthday.
Appreciate it.
Didn't even know. Look at that. Yeah, we are going to talk about Chandler Hutchison. Just from all those angles. I mean, what does it mean? Older player. They did fill a two-way, still have one open. So we'll hit it from all the different sides here. But just for those who, you know, maybe didn't hear the news, this is a player who was with the Bulls and then changed teams as part of the DeMar DeRozan trade over the offseason, the sign-in trade that put DeRozan in Chicago from the Spurs. The Spurs just recently cut him, I believe, just as his guarantee date was coming up. So he was on the scrap heap, but is a fairly young player at just 25, was only drafted three seasons ago, and now fills a two-way slot for the Suns. That is per Dwayne Rankin as well as Brandon reporting that. So what did you make when you saw the news come down? Because I don't think that was necessarily the direction I was expecting the Suns to go. I had honestly missed that Hutchison even got cut. But, you know, I get the former first round pick, you know, it's not too out of the ordinary. What did you make of it?
Yeah, no, I liked it. I kind of caught everyone off guard, I think, just because everyone expected it to be that last roster spot. So there was probably a little bit of panic there in the beginning, but on a two-way deal that at least what I've heard, it sounds like that's what their intention is. So I think that's a no-brainer. We've already talked about it in the past just with Tyshawn, how, you know, valuable it is to just you take a swing and use it and to take it on a guy that's a former first-round pick that in the 2018 draft, he actually was promised by the Bulls, never ended up working out or doing anything in the combine. So there's no official measurement of his vertical, but this dude he gets up there. Like, he can really leap. So he's interesting. He could finish through contact and all that good stuff. But yeah, he's just another member of the 2018 draft class that is pretty deep. Him and Shamet actually both in that back end of the first round. So definitely just kind of caught me off guard. And I think it's a good use of their two-way, though.
We found the Suns, the margin that they're trying to play on, which is just get every first-round pick from 2018. They have four of them now. So it is very interesting. But it does play into the kind of general way that I think, you know, Jones has gone about building this team, which is something I want to get to in the next segment of, you know, not common necessarily in the NBA to see a 25-year-old guy who was picked that long ago get a two-way contract, to just not really how most teams spend them. So we'll talk about that in a second. But just as a player, you mentioned it, he is an unreal athlete. There were highlights going around of a dunk he had last season with Washington, on a dish from Russell Westbrook that was already kind of going viral among Suns fans. And, you know, coming out of college, he was a player who was thought of as a little bit of a creator coming out of Boise State and sort of, you know, a point forward type of a versatile option. I think really to me, you know, not that I've watched this guy day in and day out, what it looks like from afar, having, you know, evaluated him a little bit coming out of that draft and now seeing what the career has looked like so far, it's just that the jump shot just, it hasn't been there. And his scoring, his shot creation for himself hasn't really been there either. So he's basically a, you know, athletic, you know, talented, can play some defense, but really not much of an all-around player at this point. I mean, what have you gotten the sense of from Hutchison since he did join the league?
Yeah, no, that's a pretty good synopsis, I think. I just remember coming out of the draft, everyone kind of wanted him to be a 3 and D guy, but the 3 wasn't really there yet. He has the tools athletically, like you mentioned, not just on the dunks, but just defensively. There's some flashes where, you know, you could kind of see it with him. So I think they just kind of like having that insurance wing that doesn't take up a roster spot. And so, yeah, I think just someone that you look at Nader and kind of his profile, he could kind of slot in that same type of role. And obviously, like you mentioned, just the shot is really the main it factor with him. If he can find a way to even just get around league average or around that and continue to, like, build off finishing around the rim and stuff like that, he could be a useful wing that could eat up some minutes. So, yeah, he's definitely shown some flashes. He's had some pretty big games in the NBA, so it's not like he's a complete, like, reclamation project like Cameron Payne was going overseas and in the G League and all that. He hasn't gone quite that far, but he's still someone that I think he needs to bounce back a little bit in a way. So this is a good opportunity for him. And I liked his Instagram caption just saying, you know, go somewhere where you're wanted and prove them right. I think that's kind of the culture they've built in Phoenix. So it's cool to see them take another swing. And all these Bulls fans saying he's not an NBA player, it sounds very familiar to campaign. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, he is probably not going to play too much of a role. I mean, we'll get to that at the end. I do think you're right. It's insurance. I mean, if you think like he's behind Abdul Nader on the depth chart, I think that sort of says all that needs to be said. But I'm, you know, I guess one thing that I would be looking at is, as a shooter, does he, because he's one of these guys where as a senior, he takes 128 attempts at Boise State, makes 36% of them. But the year before, 70 or so attempts, made 38% of them. And then obviously sort of the bottom falls out from underneath of him in the NBA, you know, from an efficiency standpoint. But he's never in an NBA season taken more than 50. So I don't really know why that's the case. I don't necessarily feel like great about him as a shooter, but I also don't think he's one of these guys that's just hopeless for. It's not, you know, Michael Carter Williams or something like that, Josh Jackson out there. And so can the Suns system, the Suns, the very, very limited role that he will play, could that potentially help him? You know, we've seen it with Javon Carter. We've seen it with Frank Kaminsky. We've seen it with different guys where they do shoot a little bit better than you, Aaron Baines, even, than you might expect just because of the way that the Suns play. Not likely, but I think it's at least a possibility. I also wanted to correct myself. He was on the Wizards, as I just said, with that highlight. So he did not go from that DeMar DeRozan trade. I just assumed that in my head, but it was part of that huge five-team deal, and he went from Washington to the Spurs, and then that is what led them to cut him. But let's talk about the philosophy here a little bit, because we, you know, you and I kind of went in on them a little bit for cutting Tyshawn Alexander, and, you know, are they really not going to use the two-way slot? Is this how they're going to operate, et cetera, et cetera? And this move at least shows that they're willing to do it, and we'll talk about what that means. First, though, a quick word from Sweatblock, which is the new sponsor from our show. I was able to swing by my parents' house, get that sample that they sent me, and have already started to try to use it. And the craziest part that they'd say is that it works for up to 7 days per use. And I think anyone who hears that's going to be a little bit skeptical. But Sweatblock, you wipe that under your arm. It is the little secret to confidence in your back pocket. And it stops the sweat and moisture and odor in its tracks for, I mean, we're going on 2 or 3 days. Not that I have not reapplied, but I can still feel it. And it's working. So it really, really does. I can't necessarily guarantee the week yet, but they promise it. I trust them. They have been a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 reviews. It's not like your normal deodorant. It is a wipe. You just literally apply it to wherever that moisture is coming. It stops everything. No odor, no sweat. Again, that little secret to confidence in your back pocket. You can wear what you want to wear. Can fit in a bag, in a wallet, even in a briefcase. It's portable. It's there for you. It stops those uncomfortable moments before they even start. So if you or someone you love deals with this, has this problem, you have got to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with the promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. Today's show also brought to you by DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device letting you watch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You got sports highlights on your phone, and your neighbor's best friend login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV all together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. The best part, there is no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Okay. Let's get to the sort of roster makeup part of this. And we had criticized the Suns for cutting Tyshawn Alexander. You know, why not? Why not just invest in a player like that? There's literally nothing to lose except for, you know, a couple $100,000, whatever those guys make. And I guess you could say they've sort of answered that. They still have one two-way slot open after signing Hutchinson. But the thing that sticks out to me, Brandon, is this guy is 25 and is a player who we've seen a lot from. It's not typically how teams allocate their roster spots or their two-way spots necessarily, but again, there is some promise there. So very different option than to keep Tyshawn Alexander on the roster.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not a typical two-way contract age, like just the most James Jones thing you could ever imagine, but I think it's just kind of a smart move for him, like, to, in a sneaky way, just give them some depth that doesn't take up a roster spot. You're probably not going to need him. Like, I'm not going to beat around the bush. In a perfect world, he never plays unless they're up by like 30 or in the garbage time and stuff like that, because everyone's healthy and they have a very good wing depth and a forward depth chart. So right now I think he's just kind of that, you know, break glass if there's an emergency type valve that can step in, and at least he's in the system. You could plug him in right away and he could eat up, you know, couple weeks worth of minutes if someone has a sprained ankle or something like that, or COVID, you name it. So yeah, I think just, you know, why not both though at the same time? You could have kept Tyshawn and him, but I'm glad they're using one of them. Maybe they'll use another one before the season starts. I'd love to see it, maybe on a prospect this time, but I get the thinking. Actually, it's kind of like a sneaky, like, smart little under the radar move that could pay off in over the course of an 82 game season, because you already know this year there's going to be a lot of, you know, rest and, you know, back-to-backs and crazy stuff like that. So I think it's a smart move.
Yeah, and probably, as we're seeing with the NFL, still not out of the woods with, you know, COVID-related absences, the protocols, all that stuff's going to continue to play a part. So I think having basically a pseudo-contributor on that two-way contract is not a bad plan at all. It is unorthodox, though, obviously. And so you don't have the flexibility to, you know, if that guy were to pop off in some way, yes, you have the inherent advantage of, like, he's on your roster and, you know, you can have that to sign him again, but nothing, you know, he's not going to become, you know, an option and all this like you could with another player. He's not going to be a restricted free agent like a second round pick might have been. So in that way, you're losing the flexibility. You're losing the advantages of having a young player. But I agree. Like, I think at the very least you could imagine him stepping in if Nader gets hurt, if Cam Johnson is out, something like that, and at least playing a role. So I don't dislike it, but I definitely think it would look better if they do go with a young player at the second two-way spot. Do you think they will? I mean, I just can't, again, get around the fact that they had that opportunity with Alexander and didn't. So you could look at it and be like, well, maybe they already have somebody in mind. Like, maybe they knew what they were doing here and it's just about getting the ducks in a row, because they did act pretty quickly on this one. You could also say, you know, they're just valuing experience a ton again and it's a weird move. Like, but again, I also don't know, does it matter? Like, he's not going to play, so I don't know what to think. He's so old and it's just throwing everything off.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to our conversation after the Tyshawn episode, where it's just kind of like, you know, if they're going to use it, like, I mean, we probably don't think they're going to use it on a young player. Like, if I put my money down, he'll probably try to find another project like Hutchinson if they use the other one. But at the moment, like, I think I agree with you. Like, I would love to see them bring in a prospect. I think there's a lot of talent still out there on the market. And like you mentioned with the two A's, you only get 50 games out of them. I believe that's off the top of my head. Don't quote me on that. Might be more, that might have been for the 72 game season. But yeah, either way, you're limiting yourself with him, and it's not, it's just like a taking a swing. So I would like to see them use both. I think every team is just like, why not? And that's why the majority of teams do use both. So it's always tough to judge these moves until, you know, you see the final product, which we're getting closer to. So overall, I feel better about, slightly better about like the whole Tyshawn thing, in terms of at least they had a plan and they're going to replace his spot, but would still like to see them add one more guy.
Yeah. And with, like you said, the lenient two-way policy that they started with last season that they're now going to keep, guys are not, it's not as dramatic of a, you know, they're driving or flying back and forth between cities just so they don't get a day logged and, oh, do they practice this day versus not. The original rules were really, really convoluted. They've backed down on some of that. So that obviously is helpful. And then the other part that helps me understand this stuff is this move is, they don't have the G League team. So if you are going to have a two-way player, you probably don't want somebody too raw, because then you're in a situation where he's not going to be developing that much and you're not giving him those opportunities because your G League team's not an hour and a half north anymore. It might be some other team squad that you're sending somebody to, and you know that's not necessarily an awesome developmental environment. So I get it. It all lines up and it all makes sense. It's still just this way that James Jones sees things that is so out of the box is obviously hard to get used to. But let's close things down. I have a question for you, and we'll also kind of, I don't know, maybe start to map out the rotation a little bit. I don't think Hutchison will necessarily factor into it, but we're on that topic, so we might as well. We'll do all of that, though, after one quick break to tell you about Built Bar. The best tasting protein bar ever, my favorite protein bar, and Built Bar likes to call themselves the healthiest candy bar ever, and it's not hard to see why. They are no more than 180 calories, no more than 5 grams of sugar, and yet they pack in 18 grams of protein in there, and they all taste delicious. Covered in 100% chocolate, they're soft, they're easy to chew, they have tons of different flavors. They got the consistent of coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, and they rotate out others depending on the season. They're going to be ramping it up a ton because, as I've told you before, Built Bar is building a distribution center in Phoenix, meaning that your bars will get to you faster. You don't have to worry about them melting, which I know for maybe some out-of-town listeners might sound crazy, but here it is very much a fact of life. So for our local listeners, they'll be getting to your door quicker, and they're going to be able to get these types of one-offs, this, like, around the holidays, they had white chocolate. They have these summer flavors now. It'll all be more extensive because they'll be right in our backyard. So support the local business. Support a loyal sponsor of ours and support a product you're going to love. A very, very delicious protein bar. I use them constantly before, after workouts, just as a snack. It's delicious. So go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Today's show also brought to you by betonline.ag. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football. With teams back on the gridiron to start the football season, BetOnline has 3 big deals for you for the NFL kickoff on Thursday, so only a couple of days left to get involved to take advantage, but here's what you're going to do. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, starting with the internet's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, both open now at BetOnline. You can also take advantage of their opening day super promo by making a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Bucks and the Dallas Cowboys. And even if you lose that bet, your wager will be refunded up to $25. For new customers who sign up using the promo code NFL100. That's promo code NFL100 to get refunded on your wager for Thursday night's game up to $25. Start, first of all, though, folks, if you have not made an account already, by doing so, using the promo code LOCKEDON, when you make that first deposit, just put that first little bit of money in there, and right now only, BetOnline is doubling your welcome bonus. Yeah, that's right, a 100% welcome bonus when you use that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline is the place to be throughout football season, as well as the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports all year long. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Brandon, let's close things out. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Is there anyone, you know the draft, you know some of the end of the, you know, league roster types of guys better than me. Is there somebody that's on your mind that would be useful to bring in here? I mean, Tyshawn Alexander might be the answer, but maybe a 1B who they could actually potentially develop into something, somebody who's not on a roster right now that could make a difference.
You know, I do have a list somewhere off the top of my head. I don't know if it's updated right now, so I can't give you like any specific names, but I know, especially around this time of year, there's always going to be, and like as we get closer to training camp, there's going to be a lot of guys that get cut that I think it could be smart, not just for the Suns, but for a lot of teams, just kind of keep that second two-way open to see if some of those guys get cut. There's a lot of teams with roster crunches right now. So, you know, as we get closer and closer, I think that's definitely a good question and something I'm going to look into a little bit more before just throwing out some name just to throw a name out.
That's fair. That's fair. I did say I was putting you on the spot, and I don't want you to say something dumb, so I appreciate that. As in somebody who's already signed, you know, that can be the issue. But Memphis, to me, is the place to look. I feel like you can just get four or five guys right off of their roster already. I think they have 20 guys on their roster right now or something close to that. But you're right. All around the league, teams will cut players. There will be guys who get brought into training camp, guys that maybe get some preseason action that eventually don't make the final roster. Those are the times when you can get eyes on players. September is not really that time. Summer League is done. A lot of the Summer League guys have been, you know, scooped up already, and we haven't really had a chance to see more basketball. So I would imagine if the Suns did have something in mind here that it was Hutchison, although he did just get cut 2 days ago, that guarantee date was coming up. You can look around the league and start to see, okay, you know, who is and isn't likely to actually get kept by their current team. So, you know, maybe they did have that in mind. It is fairly James Jones-ish in terms of valuing experience, and not just NBA experience, but college experience in his case, really, really highly. But what do you think the odds are? Because this is something that I feel like we're all kind of assuming, but what are you expecting in terms of this rotation? Because I keep finding myself saying, like, oh, Chris Paul will play less. You know, maybe even Devin Booker could potentially play less. There might be some more blowouts because I think this team will be pretty good during the regular season. But a lot of that stuff happened already. And Chris Paul didn't play like a whole ton even last season. He would, you know, hover around 30 minutes most nights. So when you're looking at the depth that somebody like Hutchison, Nader, whoever it might be, provides, I don't really know what to expect. I don't know if I'm actually buying the fact that there will be more minutes to go around for some of these guys lower down on the bench, because we kind of saw them play 10 most nights last year, maybe even, you know, 12 on some nights.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for people to find minutes, like in a perfect world where everyone's healthy and all that. But, you know, over the course of an 82 game season, there's going to be stuff that happens. Unfortunately, hopefully nothing serious, but I think this roster is built to withstand those blows like before they happen, which is a good thing. That's kind of like the thinking behind Elfrid Payton and Frank Kaminsky on your third string. And even, you know, Jalen Smith, I think he's probably going to end up starting on the third string right now with Nader and Cam Johnson ahead of him on the depth chart, and JaVale McGee as well. So just looking at their roster top to bottom, I don't think there's going to be a lot of minutes available for any of those back end guys like right away, obviously. But in back to backs, if they rest Paul, you know, someone misses a few games, there's going to be some opportunity for some temporary fill-ins, but right now it's going to be pretty tough to even like all the Thad Young people, which I am one of, and I like to
same
very much on that train. But even with him,
call him Tradius Young on this show. that's his name,
Tradius Young. So we got it. We got to make it happen. But even with him, it's going to be tough to find minutes for him. Like it's not just for him, but just for everyone else, because it's like a ripple effect. So there's not a lot of minutes right now, and I think that could be something that free agents potentially saw with Phoenix in terms of choosing whether they or not they wanted to sign here. Just looking at their roster right now, it seems like their playoff rotation is set already, which is crazy to even say. And then their regular season depth chart, it looks like it's pretty much locked in too.
Yeah, no, it's a great call. I mean, and it's one of the benefits of waiting until the trade deadline and the buyout deadline to maybe make that addition and having the 15th roster spot remain open. Like, I will be critical of them not, you know, filling the two ways or the way that they've approached the draft here and there. Like, those are credible things, but I would definitely don't criticize or find any sort of problem with keeping that 15th roster spot open, because it allows you to not only obviously have the flexibility, that's clear, but you also can wait and see what your roster is going to look like if there is an injury, if there is something like that, because I think Thaddeus Young would be, you know, an obvious plug-in for some of what the Suns are lacking right now, but I don't
Vanderbilt. It's another name that I really like.
Vanderbilt. Maybe he'll be a two-way player. I don't know. With how the Suns are going. Exactly. But what I was going to say is none of us thought Torrey Craig would be some sort of miracle fit when they sign him. I think we were all kind of like, cool player. We'll see what happens. And then all of a sudden, he becomes pretty valuable, right? So, like, that stuff happens. And I think that that's sort of where I come down is if it's I can be in two places at once. Like, I think they should definitely do the Thaddeus Young trade or one like it if it were to materialize. But I also think if you're not going to do that, there's no reason to rush into something, fill that roster spot just to fill it, you know, have some, you know, no-name 24-year-old just be there just so you can say you tried something, right? So I think that's kind of where I am. I don't necessarily know if there will be that many more minutes to go around. It might just be different people who get the minutes. And really, I was asking you that question because I wanted you to reaffirm that I'm not going to have to watch Elfrid Payton that much. That was it. I just wanted you to say it to my face that I wasn't going to have to deal with that experience again. So thank you.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, maybe on back-to-backs we'll get a little dosage, but nothing crazy. And see, I was just checking my list, and Nate Hinton was actually a guy that I liked, but he just signed with the Pacers. So I didn't double-check, so I'm glad I didn't just throw a name out there. So
there we go. That's why we do our homework in real time here on Locked On Suns. I think that'll do it, guys. New son, Chandler Hutchison, hasn't been confirmed that it's a two-way, but multiple reports indicating that that is exactly what will happen, and more to come. I'm sure, you know, this roster is obviously not done. I'm sure the Suns will bring guys in for training camp. It is just 3 weeks away from today when we are recording this, which feels simultaneously very soon, but also not soon enough. So I'm sure you all feel the same way. We'll be three times a week through the next couple of weeks. I actually think we are starting five times per week again the week prior to training camp, which means we're not too far away from it already. But the rest of this week, I will have shows for you to fill out the three this week after that long weekend, and we're making our way through it. Brandon will be back Monday. So that's the schedule. Enjoy the rest of the week, guys. I'll be right there with you, and I will talk to you soon.